Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio.
Oh, that's me. Your friendly psychologist. Hey, don't forget you can always check out my webpage here on BBS Talk Radio. Just see what's going on with me, what I got. Download some of the archive shows. They're good. Good stuff to hear. Also, you can visit me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, therapy, T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. If you don't know how to spell it, that's okay, too. It'll correct it for you. So that's drmichelletherapy.com. I'd love to hear from you. Another beautiful day in paradise, folks. All you guys back east with the cool weather. Sorry. It's 81 degrees today. Sun shining. Southern California. But it's downtown, and it's kind of crazy out there. Yeah, you get downtown to 5th and Flower near Hope and Grand and all that stuff. I had a little wake-up call this morning I wanted to tell you about. This is just something that occurred to me before I came on the air here. I'm walking down the street into the studios, and it's, you know, downtown L.A. Sometimes there are great spots, and as in every urban center, it's kind of funky. There's a lot of homeless people. There's a lot of business people. Very busy, though. Crazy. You step out in the middle of a street here in L.A. on a yellow light, you'll get killed. Rushing around, you know. Anyway, I was just thinking about a lot of things I had to take care of today. I was kind of stressed out. I was walking, and people, and they're shooting a movie, of course. What else is new downtown L.A.? They got about 8 trucks down here, and, you know, they're all equipment, and then they have they call them honey wagons. That's the makeup trucks for the people. They're just lined up and down the street. They have security. They have fire department. So it's crazy. They're regulating everything. And I was kind of grumpy. I'm walking down the street trying to get in the building. Oh, God. Then I walked by the downtown library here in Los Angeles, which is a beautiful building. And they have this fantastic fauna and flora. I mean, they have some beautiful flowers and trees and things. And this fragrance of jasmine hit me. I was grumpy as hell. I was just, this fragrance. And I went, wait a minute. Here it goes. Wake up and smell the jasmine, baby. You're in Southern California. It's beautiful. Go with the flow. Smell the flowers. Breathe and relax. And that's the tone of the day right now, folks. By the way, I have a fabulous guest today. Great lady. Her name is Dr. Joanna Lipari. I'll tell you more about her in just a little bit. She's the founder of Becoming the Hero in Your Life. It's an existential psychotherapy. That's really cool, but I'll tell you more about that in just a little bit. Don't forget that you can always, as I mentioned, log on to my website at drmichelletherapy.com. You can contact me and ask me questions. So coming up a little bit later, I'm going to answer some of those questions about relationships that you may have, because this is the show where I talk about everything psychological. And we do focus on helping people with their relationships. That's how we learn about ourselves, through our relationships with others. So if you're always having the same problems in, like, your romantic situations, you know, maybe you should define why you keep picking the wrong person. And what about that person makes you feel good or not? But maybe you're used to drama and chaos. So being with somebody who stirs those emotions up seems comfortable to you, because maybe you don't know any different. You got to look back a little bit. Or you like to complain to people about being the victim. Maybe you never got what you needed from others. So you've got to get attention in some way. Maybe you're driving people away. You need to look at why. You know, these are just some of the ideas we discuss when I talk to listeners about relationship issues. You know, I invite you to call in, too, if you're having some unresolved issues or relationship problems. What I'm going to do, though, is open up the phones in just a little bit after we talk with Dr. Joanna Lipari, because she has some really incredible things that I think you can learn about yourself. You can learn a lot about who you are and why you do the things you do. And a lot of it has to do with taking responsibility for yourself. And this goes a little bit beyond, no offense taken to Dr. Phil or anything, goes beyond the kind of mainstream, why do you think you did that? You think you should take responsibility for doing that? Well, yeah, That's really wonderful, helpful stuff. But some of her ideas, as well as mine, we go a little deeper. We go beyond why. Why are you feeling, why do you suppose, and how are you going to change it now? And that's the way we roll here. Hey, let me also disclaim that listeners and those who contact me via email, we do not have a therapeutic relationship. This is my disclaimer. This is the show that gives information and suggestions. Hopefully good ideas, and they entertain too. You can learn a lot. Jot some things down. And if you hear something from a listener or a guest, and you say, what did they mean by, write me. And I'll tell you. We'll talk about it on the air, or I'll just write you back. That's docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL.com. That's my email. Love to hear from you. So since I work with a lot of couples as well, I get a lot of email about relationship issues, questions from listeners. So what we'll be doing is reading some of those questions and try and help you think about some things. Help you think about some of the things you might be doing. Why are you repeating some of the old problems in your life? What are you doing? Come on, snap out of it. Let's get on with your life. Also, a biggie in my theory is stop dwelling in the past. It's really important to, you know, get rid of a lot of the old nasty stuff and feel through it. Sure. Don't suppress that because it comes out in different ways. But feel through it, get through it, mourn it, feel it, and move on. Because today and now is all we've got. I know it sounds kind of trite, but that's the reality of it. You wake up in the morning and you say, I choose to live this way today. Yeah, you have aches and pains. You've been dumped by your significant other. The boss is really nasty and mean. You hate your job. You don't like the traffic. You're just in a grumpy mood generally every day, and it sucks. But it's your choice when you wake up and you get up and you sit there and go, okay, how do I choose to make my day work today? It's really neat, too, if you write it down the night before. Then you have it right there in front of your face instead of kind of, you know, a little confused and scrambling and feeling a little ugh. So you write it down, say, I choose to feel. And this stuff about affirmations, it works. You write down the good stuff. Today I choose to feel this. Today I choose to feel pretty strong. Today I choose to overcome some of my pains and aches. Today I choose to try to look at things a little less defensively, not take everything wrong the wrong way or hurt, you know. You choose the positive side. You make a choice every darn day that you wake up. How you're going to feel. How you're going to face the day. Yes, we all have bad days. We all have bad weeks. It's how you choose. It's how you choose to do it. Your choice, baby. All right. We're going to take a call from our guest today, and I think she's coming in. Let me check it out here. I love internet radio because it's all about computers. And the way I answer the phone here is I click it on the computer. Let's see if we got her. Dr. Joanna, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you well. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
It's so nice to have you with me.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for my daughter's 11th birthday party.
Oh, what's, cool. Today's the party? is the party
yep.
Today? Aw, that's so neat. Just wait until she turns 15.
Yeah, that's when they got invented boarding schools, I think, right?
That's right. You got that right.
No. Only joking.
I know you are. By the way, folks, Dr. Joanna Lipari, she's an adjunct professor of psychology at Pepperdine University. That's big time, folks, out there. That's one of the best. She's also a postdoctoral fellow at the Oral Facial Pain Clinic at UCLA.
Yep, we do all the pain from the neck up.
Oh, man.
All the face pain and headaches, migraines, tension headaches, chronic headaches, TMJ, all those nasty pains you get.
Yeah. Well, that is so, and you know what's so wonderful is that you help them psychologically with that pain stuff. So that's the best,
you know,
man.
There are big psychological factors in every pain. Anybody knows who's got a cold for more than 2 days. On the third day, you're pretty grumpy.
You got that right.
And You know, it just changes your whole personality.
Exactly. No, it does. And, and the chronic pain, some of the poor listeners I have who have, like, the chronic fatigue syndrome or, you know, some of the joints and achy backs and achy whatever, you know, they're living with it every day. And it's very difficult to try to manage psychologically. It's like a big snowball. Well, I don't feel good because I have aches and pains and I'm depressed, but I want to snap out of it, but I can't.
Right. And so sometimes what happens, in terms of pain, what happens with pain is that it also can be reinforcing. As anybody who knows who, says, oh, not tonight, honey, I've got a headache.
Yeah, baby, I know about that one.
That headache, calling up that headache can be very useful at different times. So
it's true.
Pain's a tricky thing, and we have to, what we have to do at UCLA is get our patients to realize that they are driving the train. They're not being treated by the doctors. They're really head of their own treatment.
You know, we were talking about that a little bit earlier, about kind of taking responsibility and realizing that they kind of, and with your help, they can guide themselves into feeling better.
Right, into wellness. And that, my whole idea of the hero, started years ago, and I brought that to UCLA in the pain department.
Yeah, let me just interrupt you here, folks. Joanna has a theory. This is a really great guidebook, by the way. I love this thing. It's called Becoming the Hero in Your Life, and this is existential psychotherapy. So a lot of folks hear about cognitive, behavioral, and psychodynamic, and humanistic, and all. This is existential, which is, I think, a lot of folks miss the boat, and they don't work with existential. But do.
They don't, because it was much more considered a philosophy than a theory, a psychological theory. But so I like to think of it as existentially based integrative. For those of your listeners out there that know a lot about psychology, it takes the basis of the treatment is existential, but then you use different techniques from different modalities in order to answer these very deep existential questions.
Right.
But putting it, basically, you explain that to a client and they go,
let's keep it real for the real folk here. Come on now.
So here's the deal.
I don't understand you. You're way too smart for me, Joanna.
Here's the deal. When you go to see a movie, the person, the lead person in the movie, whether it's a man or a woman, that's the hero.
Right.
And the hero during the course of the movie has real challenges to go through. I mean, they've got real stuff that's happened to them.
Right.
That's happening around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to overcome and work through these challenges. Now, if they don't, if they just throw up their hands and say, okay, forget it. I'm a victim. Life's doing me and that's the end of that. Yep. Then we want our money back.
Yeah.
What we want to see is we want to see the hero be a hero. And what that means is to overcome and manage the challenges that you face in life.
Exactly. Yep.
What we do in real life is we think of ourselves as being victimized and then being victims.
Right. I think we
get in big trouble that way.
Right. And that's why they come to you and me. Yeah.
And we show them that there's another way to go. That what I tell my patients and my clients, patients when they're in a hospital, clients when they're not, is that, people think that the opposite of a victim is a bully. But really, it's not true. The victim and the bully don't have any personal power. They need each other.
Right.
They're either dominating in life, and they're the bully, and they're victimizing other people, or the victim allows life to victimize them.
Right. I agree. It's kind of like there is a gray somewhere,
Yeah, these two people, the victim and the bully, are exactly two sides of the same coin.
Yep.
That's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's kind of interesting, Michelle, for me, observing just in real-life circumstances and in my own life, sometimes stuff happens, and the stuff is lousy.
Yeah.
And unfair, right?
I mean, seems that way.
It's just like, okay, why me? Why am I so unlucky?
Right,
how come
exactly.
Everybody else? It's all those kinds of thoughts.
Right.
And life can victimize you. I mean, you can be the victim of a crime, for example.
Exactly.
you can, you know, you look at these pictures on the news of these tornadoes, and they completely obliterate one house, and the next house is fine.
Right. And some of my listeners say spiritually, what did I do to bring this into my life? What? Well, that could be, you know, some valid stuff, but stuff happens sometimes.
Just stuff happens. One of the things that people don't like to really kind of realize, right, even though right from the beginning when you were a little kid and you said, oh, come on, that's not fair. And parents turned around and said, well, life's not fair. You know, it isn't a good solution, but the reality of it is that life is really arbitrary. Why you're born in the here rather than there, mm-hmm, or to this family rather than to that, all of that is sort of arbitrary.
So
when bad stuff happens into your life, it's just, you know, the fickle finger of fate. The tornado touched down at your house.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's how
you deal with that.
Oh, yeah.
How you deal with that tornado that touched down at your house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference between a victim and a hero.
You know what? You're right. It's how you overcome the stuff that happens to you in your life.
Right.
And those are the choices we have to make. And that goes back to the, you know, reality therapy of trying to take responsibility too for your thoughts and feelings about that. And, you know, we can't always be up and that's weird to always be, everything's going to be wonderful and in denial. When stuff happens, part of life is realizing that stuff is going to happen. What I tell folks, it's the journey and it's the lessons we learn. And then hopefully if we clean it up and clear it up and learn how to get through it with folks like you and you're becoming the hero in your life therapy, then they can move on. And when other stuff may happen, they're better equipped to deal with
the
negatives.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, life is a process.
Yeah.
We tend, especially in the United States and England, the industrialized nations, we tend to think of the outcomes, you know, did I get the job?
Right.
Not, how is the process in me going after this job?
Mm-hmm.
What can I learn from that process? What did I do?
Yeah.
You know, so we tend to, oh, well, I didn't get the job, so everything sucks.
Right.
You know?
Catastrophizing, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you think of all the bad things that are going on, and even the smallest things. Even though my boss looked at me the wrong way today, that gets into the box of the negatives,
mm-hmm,
the icky stuff. And I didn't get a call from that guy that I've been dating or seeing, and I really, that's not good. Maybe I did something wrong. So I find a lot of people start catastrophizing about it. They put everything, even little bitty things, everything goes into the big box of,
oh, it's terrible.
Yes. Yes.
Well, so, you know, one thing that I think is really kind of fun about life.
Yeah.
And that is, you, just like a hero in a movie, mm-hmm, you can see your life as a movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can make a choice whether your movie's going to be exciting and the hero is challenged and brave, or you can make a choice that this is going to be a dull movie and nobody's going to want to come and see it.
That's right. And that means nobody. That means
nobody's going to come and see this movie. You're going to have nothing in there.
Thinking, why aren't those people I was dating calling me? Why is my husband not coming home? Why are my friends not calling me back?
Sometimes you have to go outside of what you think you are, as does, again, going back to the movie idea, as the, you know, there's always that point in the movie. Usually it's raining. I don't know why. Maybe it's symbolic because it's washing the sins of your soul away, or cleaning you off from the old. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's always raining, and the hero suddenly decides to go in a different direction, and she's gonna blah 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 blah, and goes tooth and nail in there no matter what.
Yeah.
And we love that sort of stuff, you know?
Exactly, we do. That's what compels us to go and watch those riveting stories.
That's right,
so
but nobody wants
feelings.
To do it in their own life.
Because
you know what, people actually, this is my own personal theory, and it's just between us, right? No one else is listening.
No, just you and me, baby.
Just you. My own personal theory is that people know how to fail. And they know how to do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to want to keep to what they know how to do.
So that's what you think it is. It's comfort. When it's all good, it's just repetitive, and they kind of know how to feel the feelings, and so it's a habit.
Yeah, it's like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Yep.
So I know how to lick my wounds after my boyfriend steps out with another gal.
Right.
And I know how to do that because I've had three boyfriends before me that have done the same thing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Instead of, gee, you're picking the wrong guy.
There you go. Take a look at who you're working with and why. Why do you need to stay there? And,
yeah.
You know.
And then I hear people say to me, but, you know, I love him. I'm so attracted to him.
Right.
I'm like, you know, you're not really attracted to him. You're attracted to this thing that you know how to do.
Right.
And this thing you know how to do is being a victim.
Exactly.
And that's what you know how to do. Why don't you be a hero and, like, step out?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. What was that, Moonstruck? The old movie? This is dating me. When Cher said to the guy, snap out of it! You know, wouldn't you like to say that sometimes, sitting there with clients? Snap out of it!
Snap out!
I'm just kind of, you know?
Just stop it.
Yeah, exactly. Just stop it. But
yeah, sometimes we should do a show on what shrinks are thinking when the client is sitting in front of them. Like, you know.
Right. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. What were you thinking when you did that?
That's right. What were you thinking? What the? Anyway.
Actually, unfortunately, usually my client, I'm not very good at containing that. Usually I just say that to my clients.
That's, you know what? That's keeping it real. And I think people appreciate that. Because there's no pretense. There's no, I'm sure you have great boundaries too, but I mean, there really is no pretense because you do put it out there real and they trust you. See,
right.
I think when you're more real like you are, people
Thank
trust you.
You.
It's true.
Well, you know, one thing that's interesting at UCLA, I'm seeing these people and they've come from medical health.
Right.
And one thing that's interesting is maybe half of my patients there in the clinic
mm-hmm.
have never spoken to a psychologist before.
Yeah,
and
what,
so
yeah.
they have no, you know, their first idea is that I'm going to look at them and be able to tell the deep, dark secrets of their early childhood, which obviously I can't.
Right.
And thankfully, they can't see the deep, dark secrets of my early childhood.
That's right.
But
yeah.
but what I begin to, what they begin to see is
mm-hmm.
that psychology is best served for people who are really quite normal. Most
yeah.
people think, oh, I only go to a psychologist. I would never go. I'd have to be really, really depressed, or I'd have to be really, really crazy. Well, you know,
yeah.
when people see what psychology can do to enhance your life
yeah.
and how it can bring so much joy into your life, they, you know, I've seen so many people in the pain clinic suddenly see how understanding their personal psychology has been able to change their physical existence.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, no, that's, you know, I think that's really true.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, I think it's, you use two things. You use pain management. You know, meds are always wonderful
mm-hmm.
and helpful and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
But also the mind thing. So, you know, I think you have to go both ways and work with both of those, and that's part of it.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to be able to, well, and that's true in all in life. You know, you have to be able to look at what is being offered.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to make, you can't close your eyes off to things and again, that's not being the hero, that's being a victim, that's letting life determine you, who you are. You determine who you are. There was a great cartoon for kids a few years back called The Iron Giant, a movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's about a kid who, this giant
yes.
robot comes from outer space.
Yes. Do you know who does the voice on that?
No.
Do you know who the voiceover is on the giant?
No. Oh, yeah. It's Vin Diesel.
Yes. That was like
Vin Diesel. Yeah.
One of his first roles.
And he's great.
He's wonderful.
But the giant is taught, because he's a killing machine, but the giant is taught by the little boy,
yeah.
you are who you choose to be.
Yep. That's a powerful lesson for kids. I remember seeing that movie with my son when he was a little guy. Your daughter might be a little too young for that, but I mean, I remember that message was so powerful. I went, wow, that is so great, because
yeah.
it's true.
You are who you choose to be.
Yep.
You can't choose what happens to you in life sometimes.
No, you can't.
You know,
exactly.
you know, the tornado hits your house.
Yeah.
You can't choose what happens in
yeah.
life.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
you can choose who you are and how you respond.
Yes. You know, one of my favorite old psychologists, not old in age, I meant, you know, the people who I used to listen to. How dare I say that? I can't say that. Was Dr. Toni Grant. And she used to say, you
yes.
know, life is not a dress rehearsal, baby. Stop going through pretend changes and seeing how this works out. And with this person, or let's see how this marriage works out. Let's see how this, I think I'll have this. No. Life is not a dress rehearsal. It's the real deal, baby. We're going on stage and we're acting the way we should be acting. Every day you cherish the day that you want to act and you take responsibility. I don't know about you, and I'm sure you do. You have people that come in and they say, Dr. Joanna, but I try so hard. You know, it's so hard for me because it's just, I try to think these positive thoughts and I write these affirmations and I try to do these things, but it's just so hard. What I try to tell them that, we all have bad days. We all get down. Mm-hmm. It's not always this, first of all, therapist is going to save you and pick you up out of, you know, your misery. It's all got to start in the brain and the physical body and the way you're getting up and moving and taking action, calling others, getting out socially, thinking, of course, the positive thoughts, because that's the cognitive part where you start to feel better. That's all chemistry, as we know, too.
Well, you know, nobody, you know, it's interesting. I have clients that say that, too. It's just so hard for me. And I go, and it's also hard for Roger Federer to stay number one in tennis.
Right.
I mean, the deal is you've got to practice. You are what you practice.
Oh, it's true. It's really
and if you practice good mental health protocols, if you have good mental health habits, and you practice that, then you get better at it.
Exactly. No, it's really true. It's, you know, that whole, I've talked about this before, you know, but it's kind of like that documentary, What the Bleep Do We Know? You know, that whole documentary about building neurons that keep continually thinking the same positive thoughts and the neural pathways.
That's based on the book, you mean, that book thing?
Yeah, exactly. And the neural pathways continue to grow with those positive thoughts and those, it's like a habit. It's like lifting weights. You're going to get that muscle, on the right arm if that's all you, you know, that's the only arm you ever use. Lift that weight at the gym. That puppy's going to be bigger than your left arm or whatever. It's the same thing with building neurons, thinking the same thoughts in a consistent manner.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think sometimes because we've grown up in a culture, and I love the American culture, but one of the downsides of our culture is we've become a group of people that, you know, if you slip on the stairs, it's the stairs' fault.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Instead of the fact, like, stairs are inherently dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, they just are.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So if you slip on the stairs, you know, and we sue this one or we're looking, and a lot of times I honestly think what it is, is that, you know, we're really a good group of people. Americans are by far really can-do folk.
Yes.
And I think they... What I hear, a theme that I hear so often, is that my clients are trying so hard to do the right thing.
Right.
That, because when they do the wrong thing or make a silly choice or a stupid choice or a bad choice that looked good at the time or whatever it is, and they have to admit a mistake, they're so hard on themselves.
Oh, boy. I think
so. Then they're Do you think you get where I'm catching my drift? They're so defensive about saying, look, I really blew it, because they'll beat themselves up for the next 10 years.
Right. Exactly. You know? I agree. I think that, sometimes, and I go back, I do kind of like the past therapy stuff, because I look back and, you know, where did you pick that one up from? Who told you were not good enough? Who told you that, you couldn't succeed or, you know, whatever? You bought into those messages, and I'm so sorry you did, but you're still carrying them with you.
Right.
You know, I have a couple of clients in their 50s, and they're still carrying those old messages. So when someone says to them, a boss, or someone says to them something that's pretty benign, or what you and I would take as just, you know, a benign statement, very defensive. Her first thought is, I'm not good enough, and I'm not doing good enough, and that's how everyone perceives me. So I'm going to be on my guard. I'm going to be ready. And maybe when these folks were younger, they kind of cowered and kind of felt bad. But then when you become an adult, you start fighting back. You start living your own life. You choose relationships usually that are going to kind of beat you up a little bit, and you're going to be sensitive too. But it's again what we're used to. But my point is, I guess, is that a lot of people continue to think that, you know, they're not good enough. They just can't pull it off.
And they're so afraid of making a mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
See, if you're okay with making mistakes,
right,
then you don't have to justify everything you do. You know, if you do something and somebody says, well, that wasn't the right thing to do,
right,
you can take a second and think, gee, was it the right thing to do? And if it wasn't, you can say, wow, no,
yeah,
that wasn't, thanks for pointing it out. But if you're so worried that your mistake, that making a mistake says something about your inferiority as a person, well, then you have to say, well, no, it wasn't a mistake because, you know, Johnny told me to do it and Mary counseled me to do it and I had to do it because of this and this and this.
Yeah.
And you're so defensive,
right,
that you can't take a look.
Right.
And
right,
I love
exactly
the people who, like, just go, oh, my God, I blew it. I'm so sorry. Because I feel more confident in them.
Exactly.
I feel more relaxed that I can talk to them and that I can, you know, when I'm working with them, I can say, well, gee, you know, I'm not sure if I liked, you know, this, and they'll give me their real opinion.
Right, exactly. No,
they don't.
Right.
I'm just saying that they don't have to be right so that they can avoid being wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a lot easier sometimes to do that.
Yes.
So, you know, can we answer an email here from a listener?
Absolutely.
Okay,
please.
Cool. Since you're talking about self-esteem and how to, you know, how to become your own hero in your life. Which is Dr. Joanna Lipari's theme. By the way, let me take a quick break before we get onto this question. And how can folks reach you? What is the best way that people can reach you, Dr. Joanna?
Well, the
Lipari?
Best way they can reach me is through my telephone number at my personal office,
mm-hmm,
my private office, which is 310-581-8823. But I do have a website, and it's drlipari.com.
Very easy. And that's
drlipari, all one word, .com. LIPARI.
Yep. Great. Super. And that way we can, get some folks to really get into this, and get some help possibly and contact you and all that stuff. And, so let's take a call. I mean, I'm not going to take a live call. What I'll do is I'll go online and, try to get somebody here, and it's Jennifer. And Jennifer says, "Dear Dr. Michelle, how do I handle someone who always wants to be right? How do I handle somebody who becomes confrontational as a result?" So somebody apparently in Jennifer's life always wants to be right. And I don't know, you know, she's just kind of putting it out there, and I don't know if this is a boyfriend or a boss or a father or an uncle or whatever. But how do I handle someone who always wants to be right? And then when you try to question them possibly, I guess maybe that's what she's saying. It's like she's just right. We're IMing now. She said it's a business situation, in a business situation. Okay.
Okay.
Like in a business agreement. Somebody who always wants to be right. How do you handle that?
Well, I have two thoughts. It stems very much into what we were just talking about, that if they always need to be right, chances are it's because they're afraid of how harsh they'll be on themselves if they're wrong.
Okay.
So they always need to be right because the alternative of being wrong is just too disastrous. So that she needs to understand that. Now, how do you deal with that on a real practical, tactical level?
So what you're saying, though, we'd hold that thought. So it would be really disastrous for another person to be wrong once in a while.
Let's say Mary is this business associate that she has.
Okay.
And at what's the young lady's name that
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
So let's say it's Jennifer's business associate is Mary, and Mary always has to be right.
Right.
The first thing I'd want Jennifer to see is that the problem with Mary always needing to be right is that Mary can't bear being wrong because that would totally destroy her. She's too invested and afraid of being wrong. So Jennifer needs to realize that Mary is afraid.
Mm-hmm.
She's basically being pushed by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Mm-hmm. So Mary's not necessarily a really bad person.
No.
Mary's
trying to protect
stuff.
Herself.
Yes.
She's trying to make sure, because when Mary does make a mistake, Mary runs home and she cries and she's all upset because she knows that, you know, she beats herself up for being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to do everything in her power to never come across as as doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's killing her.
And maybe Mary goes home and also has to prove herself to other people in her
that's
life
right.
as well.
She's There's always, probably kids and parents
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
all sorts of things.
Okay.
Now, here's the real practical thing that you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you talk to someone like that, you never use the word but.
Hmm.
Ever. You never use the word but. Neurolinguistically, the person says, I'm going to make this ridiculous. Mary says, Jennifer, I don't want you to eat lunch for the next 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And what Jennifer would say back to it, normally, she would say, Mary, that's crazy. And Mary would say, nope, I don't want you to eat lunch for the next 3 weeks. Well, instead what you do is you say, gee, Mary, I heard that you don't want me to eat lunch for the next 3 weeks, and I get very hungry about 11:45.
Right.
Because when you say, I understand you don't want me to have lunch, but I get hungry at 11:45,
mm-hmm.
the but means everything I said before it, I don't believe, it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Okay.
It's all garbage, and I don't care about it. So when you say but, mm-hmm. everyone knows mm-hmm. that everything that you said before that you don't mean.
Right.
When you
right.
say and, you're putting them together.
Right.
You don't want me to go to lunch and I get hungry at 11:45, so what are we going to do?
Right, right, exactly.
And you're in a problem-solving
mm-hmm.
mode.
Mm-hmm.
You're joining. What Jennifer has to do is join up with Mary, not fight Mary, because fighting Mary ain't never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to join up with Mary.
Right. And how does she join up? Besides the language of saying and, how about the what I tell clients sometimes is to say, this is what I need. This is how I, and this is probably basically what you're saying as well, but this is how I can function better. If you want me to function better at what I'm doing, this is what I need. I will be able to get nourishment. I will be able to relax. And this is what I need.
And I think that would work with 99% of the population.
Right.
Except for somebody who needs to be right.
Okay.
You know, because if somebody who needs to be right, you could be, going into a coma.
Yes.
Because you're so hungry. But
right.
they need to be right. They ain't going to let you eat.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
sure.
they're not looking at it as most interactions are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really looking at it in the way that we think of people interacting.
Right.
They're looking at Mary's looking at Jennifer.
Yes.
As fodder for her rightness.
Right, exactly. Almost so, like she's looking at her. I'm going to use her as a victim because I have stuff going on inside of me and it's unresolved and
exactly.
I have to be the bully and I'm terrified of being wrong.
Right.
So if I'm always telling them what they need to do based on my needs and belief systems and that's it, that is
right.
kind of bullying. That really is a bully.
Right. But, and the bully needs victims. You see, that's why the bully is as weak as a victim is weak.
Sure.
The bully needs a victim.
Right.
And you can buy into being a victim. The only way that you cannot be a victim is to join up with the bully
mm-hmm.
and you take them both over to the hero side of life.
Exactly.
And the way you do that, you can do it with the word and. You can do it with, you don't understand. You did this incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer knows that that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer knows that, writing in pink and purple ink is probably not the best way to write a letter to a governor.
Right, exactly.
Something
right.
silly like that. But I'm just saying, it's something so blatant and Jennifer may know.
Right.
This. But what Jennifer needs to do is help Mary get over her fear and say, I see your point. I have some reservations about this. So how can you help me get over it?
How can you help me get over
how
it?
How can you help me see
right, exactly.
what you're saying?
Right.
Because, we've got a different point of view. Now, here's my question to Jennifer.
Okay.
My question to Jennifer is even if Mary's a nutburger and she's, unbending.
Right.
What
right.
does Jennifer's need to be right about?
Interesting. Okay. But if Jennifer's feeling like a victim, if Jennifer's feeling like this person keeps putting her down about how she's making decisions and how she's working and how does she work with this? How does she
well, first
do
of all, she's got to be thankful that Mary's in her life, because clearly she's teaching her a lesson that she needs to figure out.
Boy,
I'm sorry?
I love that. No, that's good. Find the lesson in the strife. Find the lesson in
the
difficult
situation.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to figure out why it's going on.
Right.
You know, what is it that's, you know, teaching you?
Mm-hmm.
If I was Jennifer, mm-hmm. I would say to myself, does this tend to happen to me?
Yes.
Do I tend to go into different situations, and there's always somebody
mm-hmm.
who's, you know, trying to do this to me?
Yes.
And if the situation repeats itself, if this is a trait, a pattern, let's say,
yes,
then I would have to say, you know, Jennifer, maybe you're really resistant to being told stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're the one that's rigid in their thinking.
Okay.
If it is in a pattern, I would say, well, then good for you. You've got somebody to teach you a life lesson here.
Right.
And what you need to figure out is what buttons are they pushing?
Okay.
You know, I used to laugh. I would fight with my sister, and eventually I would say to myself before I called her, now we get along really well, but I would say, okay,
yeah.
I'm putting my subcortical brain structures on pause.
That's right.
That's the fear or flight areas
right.
of your brain. I would just say, no matter what she says,
right.
I'm not going to respond
with
anger or emotion.
That's right.
My pat response is, let me think about it, and I'll call you tomorrow.
Exactly. Let me think about it. Exactly.
So what she needs to figure out is, what buttons is Mary really pushing?
Mm-hmm. It would probably be a really good idea for Jennifer to write these things down. What buttons, maybe what old buttons? What are some old messages that are seemingly hurtful to me? What are some of the old messages? What are some of the old buttons that, how do I feel about myself? What's happened to me in the past that's making me feel the same way that Mary's making me feel right now? And you can
look at old
stuff.
What's making me want to fight it?
Right. What is making me want to fight it? And then,
if Mary's making everybody crazy at work.
This is kind of what I'm feeling that they're, let's see, if she can, she wrote back, she said, I never have the upper hand on this business person makes her feel like that, he is the reason for her becoming successful at her job. Oh, he's taking responsibility for her success. So he's taking that away from her.
He's clearly, instead of Mary, it's Mark, huh? He's clearly feeling left behind.
Interesting. So he may feel that she is a threat to him, and if she leaves him in some way, maybe this is his way of clinging onto her and grasping onto her and trying to keep some kind of control because he's desperate.
Yeah, it's like a father and son, where the father never wants to let the son beat him in basketball in
right.
the backyard.
Ooh,
it eventually the son can go and beat him, and then the father accuses him of cheating.
Wow, that's heavy stuff, honey, but that's true.
Yeah,
that's
because
really
the dad just can't bear to see his little baby boy, who he loved and he catered to and he gave him everything,
yep.
you know, who suddenly gets the law partnership that the dad never got.
Right.
You know,
right,
I mean, it sounds to me like this guy is making sure that Jennifer realizes she's always going to be the lesser than him.
Yes.
Person.
Yes.
So she needs to stop fighting it.
Okay.
And she needs to give him his due. If he helped her.
Yes.
Now, this may be not psychology, but really comes from the fact that I'm a New York Italian.
That's what I love about you, baby.
This may be Italian advice, New York Italian advice. But here's how it goes. If he really helped her to move along,
mm-hmm.
then she owes him a certain respect.
Right.
Period.
Okay.
She
right.
owes him not, just as you wouldn't your father,
mm-hmm.
she owes him not to make him look bad.
Okay.
She owes him a certain deference.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean she can't become more successful than him, but she needs to understand it in the context of his hurt.
Yes.
He helped her along. He feels, rightfully or wrongfully, somehow responsible for her success.
Right.
Because
exactly.
he feels he supported her.
Right.
Out of that, if she showed him respect.
Yes.
Not collegial parody. not like, oh, we're the same, but mm-hmm. she, you know, you gave me a leg up. And if she showed him that respect, I think he would be more grateful for it.
Yes.
And, you know, it's tough for somebody to get left behind.
It really
is. And it sounds
is.
Like he's getting a little left behind.
That's what it sounds like to me. And also, I think that's perfect. I also suggest to people sometimes who bring this information to me that always keep your possibilities open. Put your stuff out there and always know that it's your choice to work within exactly what you've been saying. Work within, try to figure out what this person is about. They need you desperately. They need to be in this position. They need to feel because they're terrified. This is how they are. But also at the same time, know that you have choices out. Possibly look at other openings out there. And this is just practical stuff. This is behavioral stuff. Look at what might be open to you out there in the world. Explore other things. Give a call to some other people. I think sometimes that frees up people and makes them feel like they have a little more power over their lives as well.
Exactly.
You know, and
get
a support system. Get a therapist or not. Maybe get a support system who you can bounce these ideas off of, you know, with friends. You can say, you know, he's making me feel like this. What would you do? Get some support systems. But I always say get to know who you are within yourself as well.
Well, that's why therapy in a very basic level, you know, what people tend to go to therapy when they're finally in crisis, you know, someone dies or, you know, a boyfriend leaves you or whatever. And, and you go to handle that stress. But actually therapy really works great when you're not just dealing with a crisis.
Exactly.
When you're going and you're dealing with the trajectory of your life and helping you to change to learn different skills, skills on how to deal with people.
Right. Exactly. Well, beautiful. We're going to have to wrap things because TJ McCormick is coming in to the studio as we speak. So, anyway, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
You are so welcome.
You're great. Dr. Joanna Lipari, adjunct professor of psychology in the Graduate School of Pepperdine University. And also, you know, if you guys have some pain management issues, she's working at UCLA as well. And it's really helpful because she's doing the postdoctoral fellow. It's the oral facial pain clinic. So the neck up, baby, which is what it's all about.
The neck up. Thank you very much.
All righty. Joanna, thank you so much for joining us today. I sure appreciate it. And it's really the theory of how to be or becoming the hero in your life. It's an existential psychotherapy. And it's Dr. Joanna Lipari. Have a great weekend, kid.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, guys, every little bit of help that I can give you from my guests calling in, we've had some fabulous guests and authors. And Dr. Joanna, by the way, also has little syndicated radio shows. It's the Psych Minute with Dr. Joanna Lipari. As I gave you her website, you can go onto that and check that out. And get more information. Dr. Joanna has also been helping out actors as well. She has a practical guide to a professional career for the actors. So check that out. So a lot of help stuff. Anyway, this is Dr. Michelle. And it went by so fast. We've been on the couch now for almost 50 minutes and having a great time. So I'm going to boogie because TJ is here and he's ready to rock. So have a wonderful time. Over the weekend, stay out of trouble. It's time to get off the couch. Because this is On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Once again, you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com. That's my website, drmichelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, two L's, therapy.com. And then from there, you can, of course, find out, you know, how to write me and, you know, get in touch with me. And, of course, listen to all the archives show here on BBS Talk Radio because there's some goodies. Have a great weekend, everybody. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., be back on here. Repeat time.